shadow literally comes in the middle of the night and fucks the wife of the soldiers in the rim. I am the hero to the wives of the heroes dying in Iraq. I am the war with forgiving memory, the forgetful pain. And I turn over the pictures on the mantle of the faces of the soldiers of Iraq. I have walked to the end of the containment. The government troops are standing ready and right here. A reporter readjusts her makeup. A man walking on stilts holds on tight to Moses' stone tablets. Strippers dance on every light post. The skull costume marching band from El Dia de los Muertos High School now plays a solemn dirge. The sunlight All Hallows Eve is over. Night peeks over the horizon. A little black chihuahua sticking out his mocking Aztec tongue. I follow a spider monkey into the silent movie theater. The one on Fairfax. I pay the $2. I look for the most comfortable seat to fall asleep. I sit next to Dostoevsky. I glance over at his open notebook, and he just wrote that he believes his liver is diseased.
James Bales, who's next?
One of our editorial presenters in the writer's place tomorrow morning from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Don Wentworth.
Don Wentworth is a Pittsburgh based poet whose work reflects his interest in the revelatory nature of brief, haiku like moments in everyday life. His poetry has appeared in Modern Haiku, Bottle Rockets, Bear Creek Haiku, Pittsburgh Poetry Review, and Rolling Stone, as well as a number of anthologies. Don Wentworth.
Thanks so much. Thanks particularly to Crossroads Books, Jameson and his crew. This is just wonderful. This is going to be completely different. I'm going to try to do some brief haiku-like moments for you, and we'll see how that goes. I'm going to start out by doing a poem by one of the classic haiku authors by the name of Kobayashi Issa, one of the very best. This is his deathbed haiku. A bath when you're born, a bath when you die. How stupid. That's Issa. This next one is the first poem of my first book. It's two lines, and it was something of a statement of purpose. Stop counting syllables. Start counting the dead. Nature. And so forth. Morning glory opens to anything. Even you. A lot of us came a long distance to be here, and one thing I can say is you can be sure that no matter where you are in America, you could see this on the side road anywhere. On the side of a collapsing barn, chew. This is a one-line poem, a monostitch, a very brief form of haiku. Five words. hiding in everything. Plain sight. This next piece goes out to anybody who's had to suffer through American business over the last 30 or 40 years. Focus group. The sky, the mountains, the sea. This next one, a lot of haiku have insects. Just a little bit. You say you're lost, but look, see, Mr. Ant knows the way. This one's in the spirit of Issa. Temporarily filling the cemetery. The living.
Oh.
And for those who drove here a long way, no GPS. The dashboard Buddha. Smiling.
Yeah.
This next one is by a great American bodhisattva, one of the better purveyors of haiku in English, Jack Kerouac. All day long wearing a hat that wasn't on my head. And this one. First world problem. Learning to shut your fucking mouth. At the church, the mortician smokes while he waits. Intervention for anger. A falling leaf. And this is a Jersey spring poem. Plastic flowers. Who are you to talk? A couple more. This is a seasonal round, one for each season. First is autumn. Spring centipede trapped in the tub. I step inside myself. Winter, long winter, covered in snow, snow shovel. No. Spring, at the brink of desperation, a pink peony. And summer, the sound of one gull overwhelms the sea. And one last poem. Holding the mirror up for you, I see myself. Thank you.
John Wentworth. Taking over because Jason Reberg had to change his diaper.
He's gonna
hit
you in the stomach.
That's what we're gonna do. It's a showdown for a reason.
Somebody gets that in the face.
It's cringeworthy poet time. Our next poet is from Buffalo, New York. Jenny Skelton is from Buffalo, New York. She holds a bachelor's degree in English from SUNY Buffalo State. Themes in her poetry include the comedies and tragedies of personal relationships, from mother to lover, from American to Japan, and back again. Please welcome Jenny Skelton.
Hey, gentlemen, and ladies. How about you? sing for zones, comfort, end, and kill. My brother used to promise me if I played men with him, he would play Barbie with me. Playing men meant digging into a pile of plastic muscles, smashing the miniature bodies into each other until we got bored of emulating WWE Monday Night Raw masculinity and forgot about Barbie. Started fucking over the last blue sugar water drink. No one wanted the orange sugar water drink because we liked the way our lips looked blue. We liked the way the sky looked blue. He liked the way cigarettes looked between his blue lips. Now, I don't feel like a real poet because I don't smoke cigarettes, and he doesn't feel like a real soldier because he goes to therapy. Because he doesn't like the way blue lips look in the desert. Sometimes he tells me that everything is still covered in sand, that his daughter is covered in sand, and that for dinner tonight we're having sand. I asked him if he thought Norman Rockwell would be proud of Colin Kaepernick for taking the seat. While men like my brother still dream of rockets for glare and bombs bursting in air. While men like my brother are built from steel beams and have an anger like jet fuel. It's okay to melt sometimes. It's okay to sit sometimes. It's okay to not believe in white boy democracy. Our independence is written in blood. Our rights are written in blood, not black blood or gay blood or period blood, white boy blood. Ugh. America's homeboys like their hands open with tomahawks and shook over Philadelphia, shook over New York City, shook their dicks after they took a piss on the graves of participation trophies buried by bailouts. We are raising productive members of society here. We are raising products here. Kids who don't drink orange sugar water drinks because orange doesn't look enough like death, but orange methadone looks enough like living to their parents. The New York Times once had a story about the way people in New York City die alone. Their bodies decompose before they are found and their belongings end up auctioned off. I wonder if their apartments look like art galleries. Their sinks full of dishes look like masterpieces. I wonder if I can move America into a nice little loft in one of the boroughs where we can all decay alone, together, and our dirty laundry can be auctioned off again. Woo! Why I only write about love or the absence of it. She calls my writing unrequited love poems. I watch her sit on a guy's lap that we only met a few hours ago, and I know she's going to take him home, but he'll never be something she writes about. Meg writes about her mother's elegance and vice. I have met her southern belle mama in verse and prose. I have tasted the sweet tea filled pond of her childhood. Why do you write about love or the absence of it? My mother was no southern belle. My mother never carried herself tenderly. It was like on at 3 a.m. to cleanse the house, to rid it of any evidence that her on-again, off-again lover had smashed another set of plates not too long after he smashed her one ticket on stream. With beer-based lullabies about drained bank accounts, Christmas and rehab, her birthday cake and a psych ward. My mother was a backseat princess drawn out by the revving of a Harley. Her scars, her battle wounds. She, a warrior. She, an addict. She, a princess. She, an addict. She, a woman. She an addict. She refused to be defined by what held her back, but she held herself back for love, unrequited love. My mother was unrequited love. I write about love or the absence of it because as strong as my mother was, I am stronger for her. I'm writing my mother. I hold her black eyes secret and dole them out with each kiss, giving away the burden when another lover walks away, leaving with the heft, him with the heft of each hand that was laid upon her. I write about these part-time lovers and the way they leave me because they belong to her too. I'm writing them away for the both of us. After the snarls and tangles of twisted up veins wrapped around your wrists and feet, painted your lips blue black like the ice in the parking lot where we nodded off for the last time, you finally forgot how to say your name. It sounds like something holy again. You called it the Last Supper and called yourself Jesus. I called myself Judas. Fickleness in my fingertips felt like revival. I've grown tired of sorrow seeming noble, of blue being the only color I could be buried in, of peace feeling like a feeding tube, wretchedness set in my gut and gargled in the back of my throat every time I tried to ask for forgiveness. A mosaic of mistakes across my thighs, every bottle of wine we finished broke to bits and pushed into my skin. I hand-fed you my Eucharist secrets and you spit them out. is that they tasted too wicked to swallow. And you couldn't stand the idea of a black eye, a bloody nose, a chipped tooth being something you agreed to eat. But I guess that's what I get when my secrets are someone else's sins. So this one is about a bar in Buffalo that we love. Dive bar queen, sticky-palmed and well-spoken, asked politely for another bathroom stall, confessional between shots with Tully. Tabs and meat between teeth are paid for with thick mascara. Smile pretty and hit your sink on the way down to make up for lost time. Using lawn recorders for darts to carve a suicide note in the eyelids of everyone she brings home. It sounds familiar, like the hymn that speaks through the floorboards, sang under a moonlight in a voice worn out by cigarettes and howling. The jukebox never plays that one muddy water song Daddy sang to drown out the chiming of a pavement bed he left behind, soaked in a southern drawl or Yankee slur. Taking laps down the pine to exercise charcoal lungs before wrapping rust around the tree. These lights weren't meant for tonight, red and blue, but they look just like dollar signs and not the slightest bit of regret. I really didn't like Shia LaBeouf and Even Stevens, but he's kind of cool now. After the night, I fell asleep watching some teenage mother jiggle a baby on her knee while smoking a cigarette. I could still smell the cat piss in my sweater the next day. Clinging to the fibers, the way friends do when they want something, the way your parents do when they're worried about you, freeing seasonal depression from our livers, buckets full of swill and sewage, and search for a love that doesn't look like self-destruction, that doesn't look like a shrapnel-filled face. I told my co-workers that after watching too many World War II movies as a young child, I had an irrational fear that Nazis would come after me and I would find small spaces to hide just in case. That fear doesn't seem so irrational now, but it's cool to know Shia LaBeouf got our back. In the meantime, I poured straight gin into a rocks glass and handed over to a button-down who talked in circles, asking me if I was a depressed person. I tell him that I'm just happy that I can never be a teenage mother now.
Oh. Yeah.
Read one more for you, right? Ohio, summer 2016, sharing a tent with Beth. Everyone is on acid and jumping off ledges. I'm too scared to do one of those things. I'll never say which, but I can tell you that the body is bobbing in the corner makes me nauseous, like the smell of dollar store canned chicken, or the thought of leaving. Being attached to anything makes me want to cut everything into pieces, my lease, the bills, your tongue, your poetry. Eavesdropping like I had something to learn, I heard, hey man, you just gotta treat it like it's been something you've been doing your whole life. Avoidance. Pulls me close and tells me I'm pretty, so I fucked him. With corporate America and the suburban baby boomer's bumper sticker protest of progress, or anything planted in certainty, or anything uprooted in the name of change. Everyone is on ledges and jumping off acid. Everyone is bored and eavesdropping. I'm just like everyone, scared to rip my bones out and rearrange them, to peel back my flesh and expose the only unsubtle parts of myself. It's trendy to be dirty these days.
Yeah.
Head bowed, mumbled vows, praise be unto escapism and the sins that beg me to be their home. Woo!
Jennifer Skelton.
Woo!
We're going to take 10. Buy alcohol, smoke cigarettes.
Woo! Do everything your parents told you not to do.
10 minutes!
You did really
good. That was awesome. Yeah, everything. We got some.
Hey,
that's your bag.
That was awesome. Thank you.